Good morning. I hope that you guys have had a fantastic week. I know there's a lot that's going on. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of things that don't look the same as they did a few weeks ago even. But I hope that you found something really good to hold on to help appreciate this season. For me, one of the things that I've been excited about is thinking back through my lifetime, I can't think of a time where so many families have been home with their children, where fathers who are normally working have more time at the table with their kids. People are doing the things that they said that they've been wanting to do for a long time, but didn't have the time or couldn't make the time. And it's nice to see all of this happening. I can't think of a time in 35 years where that has been on such a global level the case of more people at home investing in the things they always wanted to do. So I hope you're finding things like that to help appreciate the season. There's a lot of good stuff happening. And while this is hard, it's also been a great blessing. So today I'm going to talk about abundance. And of course, with abundance comes scarcity also. And before I get into it, I just want to say this, that abundance is a perspective or mindset that creates things like prosperity and creates things like wealth, just like scarcity creates things like lack or poverty. But it won't necessarily have to do with money specifically, unless I speak directly to that. I want you to just kind of picture it this way. If scarcity and abundance and poverty and wealth were all people walking down the street, they wouldn't actually know each other. They'd walk by and they have no personal relationship, no thought whatsoever about each other, but they don't realize that every day what they do actually directly affects each other. So let's get out any idea that when I talk about abundance that it has to do with money or material wealth, or that scarcity and poverty are exactly the same things. So that being said, let's step into a scripture we're all familiar with, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come to that they may have life and have it to the full. And depending on what translation you read, it might say that they have abundant life or that they have life abundantly. But it all says the same. John 1:16 says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. One gracious blessing after another. So abundance is a term that's used tons in the Old Testament. It's used a lot in the New Testament. And in the different ways that it's used, it means things like fullness, completeness, plenty, a lot. Or just in the general context, it means more than enough of anything that you might need. So in him, from his abundance, we have more than enough love, we have more than enough peace, we have more than enough joy, we have more than enough provision, we have more than enough of anything we could ever ask or imagine, because that's the family that we've been bought into as sons and daughters of the Most High. That is our new reality. And we're gonna learn that one step at a time from where we're at here on earth, where we've been trained in a lot of ways to think from scarcity to where we start looking at things from the abundance that's a reality in how he lives. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything that we need for life and for godliness is there because of his goodness. He's made it available to us through his son. Acts 17:24 says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So what I caught from that is that he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else, not because he had to, but because he wants to. He wants us to understand this level of abundance, this reality that he lives in that is so outside of our way of thinking down here. In fact, Jesus, when he came to bring the Father's abundant heart to show us what it really means to live as sons and daughters of the Most High by dying on the cross to show just the level of commitment that is there behind that. And he didn't didn't hold back anything. He was definitely a conduit that didn't stop anything about the Father's love from coming to us. At the Last Supper, he said to his disciples that everything that the Father has made known to me, I have made known to you. Like, I've held nothing back in for life and for godliness just because we love you. We love you. We love you. And so if he's not going to stop at anything to make sure that we have everything that we could hope or imagine for, then we shouldn't either. In fact, he's going to teach us out of that scarcity thinking that says that we can have this, but we can't have that. Or if we're going to have real joy, then that means that we can't have this in our life, or we can't have that. That's not how he says it. In fact, the only way to really know what he wants for our life is to put that in his hands and let him decide what he wants for us, and then trust him to see what that looks like. If you really want him, if you set him as the priority of your life, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You don't have to pick and choose. It's our scarcity thinking that says that it can only be this, it can only be that, and it has to look a certain way. And that's an awful prison to be stuck in. It says in the word that he's made everything available through the riches of Christ. So the only way we really understand the fullness behind this character and the fullness that everything that comes behind the one who says, I will save you, is to listen to what he says, to take his word for it literally. So when the Holy Spirit tells you something, or if you're reading your Bible, you're reading the word of God, and you feel that instruction on something, then own it in your heart, in thought and action, and move forward in it and see what he teaches you through it. Because chances are he wants to teach you about the nature that he already lives in, of which him and the Father are really actually trying to bring us into as sons and daughters. Okay, so I want to try to paint this picture practically with a story from scripture, and it's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 21. This is the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Okay, so here's what happens in the story, is that Jesus is out, and actually if you read it in the different Gospels, I think in the book of Mark it says that they were so tired of being around people, they actually wanted to go to the other side of the lake to be alone. But the people kept chasing them down because they wanted Jesus and what he was giving and teaching and doing so bad that they were relentless about it. And he had compassion on them. Remember, out of his glory and goodness, he's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So out of his compassion, he decided to minister, and he decides to heal people and to go into teaching. And so as the day progresses, the disciples, they say, "Hey, it's getting late. These people are tired. They're hungry. Like, we need to take care of them. Send them away to a village and get some food." Totally a practical idea. I mean, it's a logical thing that makes sense. And Jesus says, "That's not necessary. You feed them." Now, why would Jesus say, "You feed them," if he knows full well that they don't have enough food for 5,000 people? If he didn't have the intention to teach them something about his nature and the kingdom, then he would not have said something like that. So what it did is it actually provoked the response of what they are loyal to already that doesn't have to do with him, their own scarcity mentality. And what they said is, "Send them away so that they can buy themselves something to eat." And in another translation, it says that when Jesus said, "You feed them," they said, "With what? It would take months of wages to be able to buy enough food for them to eat." Their scarcity is not so much that they trust in money, although that is a big scarcity in itself when that is ahead of the Lord God. But the fact that they only see one way of creating a solution to this problem. Where Jesus, he doesn't think like that. He lives in a world of abundance. And what seems miraculous, I mean, the miraculous things that happen, they're miracles to us because that's not the world we live in. But in Jesus's world, that's how he operates. Like, that's how he does things. So that is his normal. So a miraculous thing would look completely different to him than it would look to us. When he says, like, you saw miracles and so you believe, it's like, you saw how I normally work and you're amazed by it because it's not how you do. That's the difference in scarcity and abundance. That's what he's trying to teach us the difference in. So when he's talking to his disciples and he says, you feed them, he's inviting them into a process to actually learn the difference in how they think and look at things and how we think and look at things. So the disciples, they look at what they had and they're like, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are we going to do with that? How will that go so far among so many? And he says, bring them here. And so when they brought it to him, he took it, broke it, blessed it, and gave it out, and there was plenty. Now, what's interesting about that is that he's taught the other side of this too, because the disciples, they're living by sight and not by faith, because they don't understand much about what it means to live by faith yet. So they're living by sight still. Now, Jesus also instructed it like this. In Luke 14, 28 through 32, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long ways off and will ask for terms of peace. Okay, this is really interesting because what he's saying is, look at what you have and decide if it's enough to actually make the decision that you're looking to make. That's not the same thing that he told the disciples when he was feeding the 5,000. In fact, he's like, what do you have? Bring it to me and let's go forward with it. I want to propose that the biggest difference in these stories is that when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, the reason it looked different there and he said, don't look just at what you have, is because he was actually instructing them to go forward with his favor and see what might happen when we include him into the process. Because remember, with him, there's abundance of joy, there's fullness of love, there's everything that you can ask or imagine, and even more so. So to cooperate with him and see that come into being, to rely on him for that, opens up a lot more than what we're able to see ourselves. Now, that's a really common point. But when he says, like, suppose a man wants to build a tower or go to war, what he's actually saying is make sure that you're invested. The context of the verse is anyone who wants to be my disciple must first count the cost. Make sure that you're willing to give everything that you can, that when this gets hard, you're going to stick with it, because there's no question that this journey is going to test and see how committed you are. So are you willing to give everything? You're making a decision out of your own will, your own free will. So do you have what you need to go forward with this? Have you considered it carefully? So the difference is hearing his voice in an instruction in something or making a decision on your own. And they're two very different things. And there's a place for both of them. Because inevitably, when we make a decision on our own, it won't be very far down the road that we have the opportunity to actually say, you know what, I hit my limit. I need you to come into this picture. And that's when we release everything to him, because counting the cost is to see if you're willing to release everything to him when it came down to it, so that he can bring in abundance and heal you, bring joy and peace and love and everything that's already present with him, everything that we've needed and wanted that is totally available through him. He wants to take our scarcity thinking that says there's one solution to this answer and open it up to how he actually sees it. Because it's miraculous provision, whether it totally seems like a miracle or not. An example of that, a businessman. When an entrepreneur starts a business, even though he's offering a product and a service in exchange for the money, so it seems like it's more of a trade than anything, he still has to rely on God to provide the business that he needs, the income that he needs through that. He needs people to come by. Right now, there's a lot of business owners, especially small business owners, that are still, even though they're offering a product, they're offering a service, they are totally trusting God in full faith that enough people are going to come in to keep things moving, that enough people are going to stand up and support them in this kind of a scenario. It takes great faith. And when we trust like that, and when we hear from him, and when we put it in his hands, then all of a sudden we have an access to abundance and a different way of thinking than what we've been taught all of our lives. That's what he wants for us. He does not want any shortage of love and favor and kindness and grace to happen in our lives. David knew the importance of this example because he would not go to war without first asking the Lord, can I win this? He didn't look at the numbers necessarily. He didn't look at the strategy before he asked the Lord, hey, can I win this or can I not win this? That's what's going to say if this is it. Because again, when the instruction is there, that means the Lord says, my favor is going to go with you. And it may or may not look the way that you would like for it to look. But I promise you that my abundance is what I want to give you. And if you'll just trust me for it, you will win out of this. You will receive what I have for you. Don't ask what you want out of this. Put it in my hands so that I can give you what I want for you out of it. Because believe me, it's more than you're thinking. Jesus was relentless about making sure that his disciples could hear this message and receive it and understand what the abundance of the kingdom looked like. And Peter and John were two examples that were really good from scripture. So I'm going to use Peter. When Jesus gave a hard teaching, he said, and the crowds were leaving him, he said to his disciples, are you going to leave too? And Peter said to him, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. And Peter, in obviously in that, had seen that there was so much more behind the words of Jesus that said, hey, I've got full life. I have full peace. I have restoration. Like everything I could possibly need is behind what you're telling me. Like where else could I possibly go to get these needs met? Where else could I possibly go to get my wants met? Like you have everything. He saw the abundance that was there. And then, down the road after the resurrection and Jesus is standing on the shore and he calls out to the fishermen, Peter being one of them, and says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And then they catch this huge bunch of fish. And Peter immediately recognizes from the huge bunch of fish that it's the Lord standing on the shore. And so he grabs his cloak, he jumps into the water, he goes after him. And because he noticed that the abundance of the kingdom that he recognized when Jesus was here present with him just showed up again. Do you think that that story would have looked a little different if they had only caught like four fish? They probably would have been like, that was some good advice from some guy. But the fact that they had so much come out just showed, no, that's the nature of how my Jesus lives and what he wants for me. That is what is at stake here. He doesn't want us to sit and look at our pocket. If he tells us to go do something, he doesn't want us to sit and look at our pocketbook and ask it permission if we can be obedient or not. He doesn't want us to look at our calendar and decide if we can be obedient or not, but to just look forward and trust him, put it all in his hands and see what abundance might teach us or show us, because we might be in a prison in our way of thinking. The more we get out of that way of thinking, of scarcity, of thinking there's not enough, I'm not enough, he's not enough, he won't provide enough, the more we are open to actually receive that he has a million different ways to solve the same problem. It doesn't have to look one way like it did for the disciples when Jesus fed the 5,000. So I want to pray over you guys this week that you see the abundance that he has for you, because there's more than enough love. There's more than enough peace. There's more than enough favor. There's more than enough kindness. There's more than enough acceptance. There's more than enough provision in the family of God. As a son and daughter of the Most High, you have that. And if you're not in that family and you want to get to know Jesus, then respond to it. Put it in the comments here. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love online, of course, at this time. but we'd love to pray for you. And we would love to introduce you and get you going and respond to you and get you set up, because this is a game changer. So Lord, I pray that abundance would be the word that rings true through this week, that that mentality would open up hearts and lives, and that things wouldn't have to look a certain way, but that we could see your goodness in every aspect, in every avenue of our life coming in, no matter what things look like, no matter what the circumstances look like, that we could see everything that's behind the words of the one who says, I will save you, and that we could receive the fullness of it. Let us see what that's like, one piece at a time. Teach us in how you know best. We trust you with it, that it doesn't have to look like we think, knowing full well that you have promised to give us your fullness and you're not holding anything back. We love you, Jesus. Amen.